contradictory when it first says to bear your own load. Everyone must bear their own load. And then second, to bear one another's burdens. But then here's another one. If you look in the Psalms, in Psalm 55 and verse 22, Psalm 55 and verse 22 simply says, cast your burden on the Lord. So that's three things we're told to do with our burdens. We are to bear our own load. We are to bear one another's burdens. And then we are to cast your burden on the Lord, the psalmist says. So how can we do all of that? How can those three things not be contradictory? That's going to be our lesson this morning, is to see how Galatians 6 and verse 5 and Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2 are not contradictory statements. And then you throw in the Psalm 55 and verse 22, and that's not contradictory when it says to throw our burdens or cast your burden on the Lord. But what we're going to conclude in all of this is, as I am bearing my burden, and as we are bearing one another's burdens, and as we are casting our burdens upon the Lord, what it all comes down to is that the Lord will help us with any burden that we must bear, ultimately. So we're going to look at all three of those verses and see the lessons that hopefully we can pull out of those for us. The first thing we're going to look at is the first verse, which says, for each one shall bear his own load. The Greek word load is phortion. Phortion means an invoice, as if it's a part of a freight. And it figuratively means a task or a service. Now, when you think about it being an invoice, when I'm given an invoice or when you're given an invoice, that is something that you owe. If a doctor gives me an invoice, and there's a certain amount of money on that invoice, then I've got to pay that invoice. So it's something that I have to pay. That's the idea of phortion. And it is a task or a service that I have to pay. The King James Version translates this word burden. And so you have a load or you have a burden. And incidentally, this is the same word that's used in Matthew 11 and verse 30, which says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's phortion, the Greek word phortion. And again, there's other Greek words which are translated burden, and we're going to see one of them in just a minute. But this one is an invoice or a task or a service. So what it's really saying when it says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light, it means for my yoke is easy and my task or service is light, you see. So a task or service that I have to do, and yet it is light, is the point of Matthew chapter 11 and verse 30. Now in the tasks and the services that I have to do, I have to fulfill my own task or service. I can't expect somebody else to fulfill my task or my service. In other words, I can't lay my duty upon others. If I have a responsibility, then I can't pawn it off on somebody else and say, well, I'm not going to do it, somebody's going to do it for me. No, it doesn't work that way. Like, for example, something very simple. One of our tasks or services that we all have to do, and I say have to do, we should want to, but it's to assemble and worship God. Okay, if we all have to come together, if we're all privileged enough to be able to come together and worship God together, and that is a task that we must do, I can't say, oh, well, somebody else will come and worship. They'll do it for me. There'll be enough people there to sing, enough people there to serve God. I don't have to be there. You know, I often think to myself, if we... And at times, it's certainly legitimate. At times, we just can't be there. Maybe we're just sick. Maybe we have the flu and we can't go to church. But what would happen if everybody one Sunday morning woke up and didn't feel the best that they might could. Maybe they were up late, maybe they're a little tired. And what if every one of us decided that we're not going to come to church services? What would happen? That door would stay locked. The church wouldn't assemble. The church wouldn't meet. And yet, what do? Well, we say, well, you know, we may not say it directly, but we say really to ourselves, there's going to be enough people there to worship without me anyway. So if I am going to miss, then that's all right. And we kind of reason through it like that. So, but when we look at it as a task or a service, we look at it as a responsibility for me that I have to do, then hopefully that changes our tune some along those lines. Whenever someone is in need, what if everybody said, oh, somebody's going to take care of them? What's going to happen? They wouldn't get taken care of because nobody would do it. Everybody would say, somebody else will do it. And so you see the point. We have to fulfill our tasks or services and not just depend on someone else to do it. And we cannot completely neglect our duties. We're not going to say, well, somebody else will do it, and then we're not going to completely neglect it where we just flat out refuse. Maybe we come here and we completely neglect our services in that we say, well, I'm not going to sing. If every one of us said, I'm not going to sing, and the song leader stood up here and started singing, then everybody else would be quiet if everybody had that attitude. If everybody said, well, I'm not going to study my Bible at home. I'm not going to show the truth of the gospel to others. If we all neglected that totally and said, I'm just flat out not going to do it, it's not going to get done. And I think we can understand that. And of course, that's an extreme point because somebody's going to be here and somebody's going to do it. But you understand the point is the fact that we must fulfill our duties. And that's because we are ultimately responsible for what we do as Christians. In this same passage in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 4, it says, but let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Now notice what that says. Each one examine his own work. What's that imply? That implies that you've done the work. So if you've done the work, then you have to examine the work to see if you have done it correctly, if you've done it according to God's will. But you are responsible for doing the work yourself, not depending on someone else to do the work. That's what the idea of fortion is. And the Lord, again, has given us all responsibility. He's given us all work that we must do. And we go through the Scriptures and we're told, you must do this, you must do this, you must do this. And each one of us have to fulfill all of those things. But the point is, we must do the work. I must do the work. You must do the work. Even when it comes to obeying the gospel initially, becoming a Christian. Well, how horrible it is that we actually have to do something to become a Christian, right? We actually have to get in the water and be buried in baptism for the remission of our sins. Why would we have to do something to be saved? A lot of people don't think that we need to do anything to be saved. All we have to do is believe in the Lord and then we can be saved. But nobody can do that for us. Nobody can, first of all, believe in the Lord for us. We have to have that belief ourselves. No one can repent of our sins for us. Nobody can determine that I'm not going to sin again. You can't say you're not going to sin anymore. You're going to start living right to me. I have to determine that in my mind. I have to decide that I want to stop living a life of sin. I have to be the one who stands up and says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. No one else can say that. It's not going to do anybody any good. It's not going to do me any good at all if somebody else in the audience stands up and says, I know that this man believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, I have to make that confession myself. And certainly, no one can decide, well, don't worry about it. You just sit there and take it easy. I'll get in the water and be baptized for you. It doesn't work that way. I have to do it. Now, again, that's not even what you would really consider to be work. But that is a task or a service. And in our context, that is a burden that we are bearing. But I have to do it myself is the idea. Now remember, they're light. Our tasks or services are light. It's not anything difficult for us to do, but we each have to do it. And that's because all of us have to give account of our work. I can't depend on someone else to give account for me. Or I can't say, well, hey, I was a part of the Westwood Village Church of Christ. That's a faithful group of people. And therefore, I must be saved. Or you sing what my daddy did? Have you looked at the kind of life that he lived or the kind of life my granddaddy did? Do you see that and depend on that? No, we can't depend on that. Each one must give account. Then each of us shall give account for himself to God. Romans 14 and verse 12. And when you really think about it, that's kind of scary. Because we're not going to have, someone who's better than we are answering for us. Someone who has done the work. They're not going to stand there and say, well, I took care of it for him, so he didn't have to do it. We're not going to have an elder. We're not going to have a preacher. We're not going to have a father. We're not going to have a solid Christian, whoever it is, stand up and give account for us. I have to give account for myself as to how I've lived. I have to bear my own burden. And that's why it's my responsibility. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. I don't want to stand before God in judgment knowing that I haven't lived a life that's going to get me into heaven. I don't want to stand before Him in judgment knowing that He's going to tell me to depart from Him because I haven't lived a faithful life. Now, I understand God's grace saves me. I understand that it's through His grace and mercy that's the only way that I can be saved. But how chilling would it be to stand before God unworthy? And Christ is the one who makes us worthy. I understand that through His suffering, through His death on the cross, through His blood. But if I haven't taken care of my business here, if I haven't lived my life where I have taken care of my own load, then that's going to be the fate. And that's what these two passages are talking about. Giving account of ourselves to God. It's our responsibility to do that. So that's the first word, burden, that we're talking about. The second burden is that we must bear one another's burdens. And Galatians chapter 2 again tells us that. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. This word, burden, is baros, which is a weight. In the New Testament, it's used figuratively as a load or as an abundance. And really, when you look at these two words, there's not a whole lot of difference between the two. But when you think about bearing one another's burdens and you're bearing one another's weights, where they're trying to hold something up and they're struggling holding it, and then you come over and help, and then somebody else comes over and help, and somebody else comes over and help. No, when you have something really heavy and there may be one person on one end and one person on the other end trying to carry it, and they hardly lift it up off the ground, if you get about five or six more people around that thing, it's not going to be nearly as heavy. So we all come together to bear one another's burdens. Holding that weight up is the idea. Again, the word's not much different than the other one. It still has to do with a task or a service. But then it is the load, or it is the abundance, that we are going to help others bear. So when we think about this word and these two meanings, we're going to now shift from "I'm responsible for this" to "I'm responsible for helping others with this." And incidentally, that's part of the burden, I guess, that we have to bear. Of the first burden is my responsibility to help you and your responsibility to help me in our burdens. But a passage that we can use is like in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4, "Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." That's Philippians 2 and verse 4. And the fact is that some burdens are supposed to be shared with others. You know, we sometimes may tend to, and I guess it's human nature, get selfish in that we're looking out for ourselves, and we need to certainly look out for ourselves spiritually. But when we do that to the point of forgetting about everyone else, where we kind of tune everybody else and their problems out, and whether they're weak or whether they're struggling, and we're just concerned about ourselves, that's not looking out for other people's interests. That's looking out for, as we would say, number one, which is me and me only. No, we have to have the attitude that I want to go to heaven, but I want to get as many people there with me as I can. And we need to look at the context of this passage in Galatians, back in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. Paul is talking here about a Christian in verse 1 who has gone astray. "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." So that's the context. You have a Christian who's falling, who's back in the world or on the verge of going back to the world, someone who is struggling with their faith. And here's someone who needs assistance. Now, they can read the Bible themselves, certainly, and they can decide to come to church and listen themselves. But if you have someone who is willing to help them through this, whatever the struggle is that's causing their weak faith, when you're willing to help them, that's the idea of helping to bear their burden. Bear one another's burdens. We need to try to help restore them, and it says to do so in a spirit of gentleness. So again, a Christian who's gone astray, but we must try to restore this individual. And we do that by bearing their burden. In other words, they're struggling under the weight of whatever's causing their weak faith, and we're going to come over there and we're going to stand by them and we're going to push it up too. And then another brother's going to come over, another sister's going to come over, and they're going to hold it up too. And we're going to help them through that burden to get them past it. That's what it means to bear one another's burden. Now, there's a deeper meaning than just that, because you can apply this to more than just a brother or sister who is in sin. Because we as brothers and sisters, sometimes we may not actually be in sin doing anything wrong, but we're still struggling. We have a weight on our shoulder that's hard to bear. and we're trying to hold it up and we're struggling with it, well, when other brothers or sisters come and help us with that, then we can lift it much easier. The burden, for example, of sorrow and suffering. We just lost a loved one from this congregation that we've been talking about. Sister Glenelle's lost several loved ones this week, which is a tragedy for her that so many have passed from her family this week. We have those who suffer with sorrow. We have those who suffer with other things in their life that they just struggle with, that they're having problems with and difficulty with. Well, I want you to look at a couple of passages with me as far as how we are bearing one another's burdens as people are going through, as brothers and sisters in Christ are going through these things that they're having to in their lives. Romans 12 and verse 15. Romans 12 and verse 15. And actually both of these, Romans 12 and verse 15 and 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 26, is really showing us the same attitude that we should have as brothers and sisters in Christ. Verse 15 simply says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep." Now, there's times when brothers and sisters in Christ are happy and excited because something great has happened in their life. Well, when that happens, we're not going to be envious. We're not going to be jealous of them. We're going to rejoice with them. But there's times when brothers and sisters in Christ are weeping and are sorrowful because of the struggles they're going through. Well, then we're going to weep with them. We're going to sorrow with them. And hopefully they would do the same for us. And then also again, in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 26, this idea of us being like a body. Christ is the head and we're the parts of His body. Verse 26 says, "If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it." That should be our attitude toward one another. Bear one another's burdens. You see the difference. The difference is I have responsibility that I have to get done. But then part of my responsibility is making sure that others are helped by bearing their burdens. And when you see that I need help bearing my burdens, then you will help me. It goes both ways. And this again, it's not just sorrow and suffering. It could be any type of burden that we would have to bear. Certainly, we're going to pray for our leaders and help them in the burdens they bear. We're going to pray for one another so that all of us are praying for one another through these burdens that we all have to deal with day by day. Sometimes, maybe harder than others. Sometimes we are going through things that are very, very difficult. Sometimes life may be going a little bit smoother. But whatever the situation, we're going to be joyful and we're going to be helping one another through. And then finally, the last thing I want us to look at is the one from Psalm 55 and verse 22, which says to cast your burden on the Lord. And there's three things about this that I quickly want us to look at is when we cast our burden on the Lord. They're burdens that are certainly too difficult for us to bear alone. They're too difficult for even brothers and sisters in Christ to help us through. These are burdens where we certainly need the Lord on our side. And we need the Lord on our side through all our burdens. But sometimes, even though He's there, we really are not going to get through something unless we lean heavily upon the Lord. And this is our casting our burdens on Him. When we cast our burdens on the Lord, He might take away the burden. He might decide that He's just going to take it away so that we don't have to bear it anymore. You know, when we pray to God and ask Him to help the sick, help someone with cancer? Are we praying in vain, saying, well, there's no way that God can help them? No, we pray with confidence that God can if He chooses to. So we know that He might take away the burden. We know that He will give us strength to bear it. The passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10, is Paul having to bear the thorn in the flesh. And remember, he prays three times, asking God to take that away from him. And what does God say? My grace is sufficient for you. Now, Paul would have thought, I could do so much better. I could be a better servant of yours if you'd just take this thorn in the flesh away from me. Take it out of my life. Let me live without whatever struggle it is that he has put on him. And he asked three times for that to be done, but God wouldn't do it. He gave him the strength to bear it. You know, we all have those kinds of things in our lives. We have things that we think, if this was different, then I would be able to do this better. If I didn't have this struggle, then I could do this better. If I didn't have this disease, if I didn't have this ailment, if I didn't have this injury, whatever it is. But God, whether He's going to take it away from us or not, He'll give us the strength to bear it, which is the lesson for Paul. And then finally, all of our burdens should be cast upon Him. And I want to look in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. Because no matter what it is, and it doesn't matter, again, if brothers and sisters are coming to help us to bear it, or if we are working at our tasks and services as we are responsible for doing, whatever it is, everything that we do, we give Him the glory, we trust in Him, we depend on Him as we get through whatever burden it happens to be. So back in verse 6, he says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, realizing God is our Creator, God is our Sustainer, and in that we humble ourselves to Him, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. So we have to remember, He cares for us. He wants the best for us. And He'll be there. And so as we cast our burdens on Him, we trust Him and trust that His will always be done. I hope that we are fulfilling our responsibilities. And I hope that we are helping one another in our voyage to heaven. And I hope that we're trusting in the Lord to get us through all of it. If you haven't been, we urge you to start. We urge you to become a child of God, to repent of your sins, to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins, so that you can be forgiven, so that you can be saved, so that you can go to heaven someday. If you're already a Christian, but you have sin in your life, we urge you to repent of that. We want you to pray to God. We want you to ask Him to forgive you. We're certainly here to pray with you. We're certainly here to help you through, to help you with your burdens that you must bear. We're here to help you. Won't you come while we stand and while we sing?